thought I did very much test design Schwab TV's Topshin PB's River Frame at Brachfeld.
Moshe spoke to the Rebbeinu Shlomo, and he said, "Vayomer Moshe el Elokim." He had two questions. First of all, "Mi unoichi ki eilech el Paroi?" Who am I? Am I worthy enough to be sent to Paroi? That's question number one. And question number two, "Vchi oitzi es bnei Yisrael mi Mitzrayim?" As Rashi explains, "Ve'afim chushvani, even if I would be worthy, ma zochu Yisrael shetus elem nes." Klal Yisrael, worthy to be taken out of Mitzrayim? In which schus would I take them out of Mitzrayim? These were the both questions. And the Boishim answered two answers. Vayoyime, ki eye imoch vezelecho ois kenoch ishlachtich. On your first question, you're not going by yourself, I'm going with you. And on your second question, which schus do Klal Yisrael have? Behoitziyachu esa'om mi Mitzrayim. And as Rashi explains, v'shesha'altu ma schus yesh li Yisrael, which schus do Klal Yisrael have sheyetzim Mitzrayim? Duvo gude yesh li alo Yisrael zu sharei asidim lekabel ha'Torah alohor hazeh l'soif shloish chedushim sheyetzim Mitzrayim. In 3 months' time, which was then over a year time, the Yidden would accept the Torah on Har Sinai, and in this schus, in this merit, I'll take the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. Which seems to be as if the Rebbeinu Shlomo is saying, now they're not worthy, they have no schus now, but they'll have a schus in the future. I'll take the schus of the future into consideration and I reward them now for what they will do in the future. Which is very hard to understand. Why should the Rebbeinu Shlomo reward someone for something he didn't do yet? I would like to see different interesting sources which discuss this topic. If the Rebbeinu Shlomo takes the future into consideration, or the Boishim looks at the person or the nation the way they are now. And the first Mam Chazal that comes up to mind is Ba'asher Husham. When Yishmuel was about to die in the desert, and the Boishim created a Be'er, water for him to save his life, and the Maluchim weren't very happy. And they said, he'll save his life. He'll cause many troubles to Klal Yisrael. And the Boishim said, the words of Rashi, Achshav Ma'aru, what is he now? Tzadik Eirusha. Amru loy tzadik, he's a tzadik. Umar lehem lefi ma'asov shelachshav ani danoi. If he's now a tzadik, he'll be rewarded now. Veze basher husham. So it seems to be the Bereshim says, I look at the person the way he is now. I won't reward or punish a person for something he would do in the future. And therefore, why did the Bereshim reward Klal Yisrael for something they would do in the future? Right. So you say, you might argue and say, right. You might argue and say that if it's a punishment, the Boishim doesn't take the future into consideration. But if it's a reward, we do take the future into consideration. And even by punishment, you mentioned the Ben Soyer Moyer, which is a question. The Ben Soyer Moyer is being punished quite severely for something which doesn't seem to be so extreme. And Chazal explained, Rashi quotes, "Hegia Torah leSoif Datoi, Soif Shemechale Mumen Uvim." He might start with taking his parents' money, but after a while he won't find any money there. Umevakish Limude Veine Moitzei. He looks for different sources of income. Veoymet Bepashes Druchim Umelastem Sabrias. He might come to steal and to kill, and many worse avirus. And therefore, Amotor Yumezakev Al Yumezchayev. We see that even for punishment, the Boishim does take the future into consideration. So do we say Ba'asher Husham, or do we take the future into consideration? The Sifse Chachumim asks this question, and he answers, the Ben Soyer Moire now already is doing something terribly wrong. You might say, it's not so bad. So Rashi says, Ator Yordo Lesoif Datoi. Rashi doesn't say, let's look in the future. Now already. If he fulfills all these conditions, which are quite a lot, as the Gemur and Sanhedrin discusses at length, it seems to be that there's something deep down already wrong now, to the extent that he deserved his capital punishment, and therefore this is exception to the rule. But in general, at least for punishment, we found that the Baruch Hashem does not punish a person for what happened in the future. You ask, is reward different or not? Let's look at a different source. We all know the story of Domer ben Nesina, where he had the opportunity to sell a gem for a lot of money, and he didn't do so because his father was sleeping. After a while, when they bid higher and higher and higher, the father woke up, and then he said, I'm happy to sell you now the stone. So he said, okay, great, we'll pay you the high amount of money which we promised you. And he said, no, he just wants the first original figure which you offered at the beginning. And the Yerushalmi brings the same story, but adds something to it. And I'll read you the Yerushalmi. Bo miten lei kat poskulei lachai. They wanted to give him the money which they offered him after he refused for a while. Veloi kibbeli said, no, I don't want this larger sum. Umar ma'anu mezavne lechoin ikure davusi bepritin. Will I sell the honor of my father for some coins? Eini nene mekibut avoyisai klum. I don't want to enjoy, I don't want to be nene from kibbutov. So what reward did he receive? Umar Rabbi Yoisi Bei Rabbi Boin. Boy by Lailu, the same night, Yoldo Perusoi Aduma. The same night when the story happened, a few hours later, his cow gave birth to Pur Aduma, which was worth a lot of money. As the Gemara says later on, they bought it for a large sum of money. How long is the pregnancy of a cow? Definitely more than one day. I believe it's 5 months. That means that 5 months before the story, the cow was already pregnant from a Pur Aduma. For what? A reward for what? For something he would do 5 months later? Does the Baruch Hashem reward the person for something he would do 5 months later? It seems to be yes. Because the Pur Aduma was already there 5 months before he even thought about Kibud Avraham. It seems to be from this Gemur that the Baruch Hashem does take the future into consideration. And the Baruch Hashem does reward the person for something that would happen in the future. However, you might argue, it's in a concealed way. The person was unaware of this reward till he actually was mechavet his father. Whereas the Yidden in Mitzrayim, they heard about the reward already before they went out of Mitzrayim, before they were mechavet the Torah, for something they didn't do yet. This is already a step. That's already something which we didn't see in this story. We see so far the Baruch Hashem takes the future into consideration, and he might reward the person in a conceived way. I'll give you another example. An interesting question was being asked to the Maharsham. There was a city or a town where the soldiers decided to walk through this town and stay there for an amount of time. The law was they could go in which house they want, and they could force all the people of the house to squash in one room and use that house. This was a danger. It was not only uncomfortable, it was dangerous physically and spiritually. And therefore they tried everything to cancel that decree. Nothing worked. So they decided maybe they approached a tzaddik and asked him for a bruchah. He said, okay, but on one condition. I want a large donation to Almunis and Yesoyimim. If you pledge this amount of money to tzedukah, I'll give you a bruche, and I'll daven for you. They had no choice. They gave the money, he davened, and 2 days later they received a letter that the decree was cancelled. Obviously it worked, and they were very excited. But there were some cynical people who decided to look behind the matter and see when this letter was sent out. And they found out this letter was sent out 2 weeks before the story happened. And therefore they went to the tzaddik and they said, we want our money back. You promised us you'll daven for us, but the decree was already cancelled before you started to daven. Already 2 weeks earlier the decree was cancelled. And the Rebbe said, no, he wants to keep the money, it's not the money for himself, and he doesn't want to give the money back. They went to the Masham for the interior and asked him, what should we do? And they were sure he would tell the tzaddik to give the money back. So he quoted the Gemara, an interesting story, the Gemara in Bruches. The Gemara says the following: Pusach Rabbi Elazar benoy shel Rabbi Yosi Aglili b'chvoid Achsanya. He started to speak in favor of the Achsanya of a host, and he said the following: V'durash edrusha, va'ivurech Hashem es oyvet Edom hagiti. The Rebbein Shem rewarded Oyved Adam Agiti for what? Bavur Oroin Elokim. Because he hosted in his house for 3 months the Oroin Elokim. Valoidvorim Kal Vachoyme. Ima Oroin. If you just host the Oroin, Shloi Uchal Veshuso, you don't need to feed him any food. He doesn't eat, he doesn't drink. Elokibet Veribis Lefunov. Just have to make sure that the house stays neat. Hamareach Tamit Chuchem Besoich Beiso. If someone invites the Talmud Chuchem in his house, umachiloi, and gives him to eat, imashkei, and gives him to drink, umehanu menechusav, alachas, kamo vekamo, of course the reward is much greater. Which reward was given to Oyved Edom Agiti? So the Gemara says, mahi bruche shebirchoi, umar Rabbi Yude bar Zvide, zu chumus, his wife, vishmoyne kailoser, and 8 daughters-in-law, sheyoldu shishu shishu bekeres. They all had 6 triplets. Times 9, and as the Psukim explained, this happened all during these 3 months where the Oren was in their house. Ask the Maharsham, when did these daughter-in-law and the wife conceive? Must be before 3 months. Even he'll say it wasn't 9 months, it was 6 months, 7 months, but definitely not 3 months. So what happened was, half a year before the Oren arrived in Oyved's house, his daughter-in-laws and his wife conceived already 6 triplets for something would happen half a year later. Says the Maharsham, we see from here, the Rebbein Shem looks at the current situation, takes into account the future, and by doing so rewards the person already now. And therefore when the Tzaddik davened, when the Rebbein Shem made this decree to be cancelled, when they wrote the letter that the decree is cancelled, this was taken into consideration that 2 weeks later the Tzaddik would daven, and b'schus his tefillahs, the person, the decree would be cancelled. And therefore, you have no right of asking the money back. It was indeed, it happened before, but it was only b'schus something which happened later, the tefillahs of the tzaddik. However, here again, it was in a concealed way. He didn't find out till after he hosted the Ulm. So therefore, we would have few different gemuras which would seem to say clearly that the Boishim does reward a person now for something that would happen in the future, however, only in a concealed way. Who says even in a revealed way? We didn't see that yet. Maybe another Ma'amar Chazal, something you might have learned recently in the Daf HaYomi. The Gemara says, Bimei Rabbi Zeire Guzar Shmad. In the times of Azeire, there was a decree, a Shmad, they weren't allowed to keep Torah Mitzvahs. V'guzer, and a second Gzeire, the Loile Meisev Betanise. Seemingly the Goyim understood that if the Eden would daven and they would fast, they would have the koich to cancel all decrees. And therefore there was a second gezeirah, don't fast. So first of all, don't keep Torah mitzvahs. And second of all, don't daven and fast for this decree to be cancelled. Omar lu Rab Zeire, so Rab Zeire said, I have an idea. Nekablei iluyin, let's accept on ourselves now to fast. When? Now you can't fast now. No, later, when we'll have an opportunity to fast, after the decree would be cancelled, and once the decree would be cancelled, we'll fast. How would this help? You'll fast half a year later, and in merit of you fasting half a year later, the Boishim should cancel now the decree. He said, yeah, it works. Where do you take this from? Where did you learn that this works? He said, he didn't bring our pusik. We have to see why didn't he bring our parsha, if this is a proof. Omar lehu dichsiv ayoymer elai, the Ibish sent a message to Daniel, al tiro Daniel, don't worry. Ki min ayoym rishna shenusatu es libchu. From the first day where you took on yourself to fast, lehu vino lisanus lifnei lekechu nishmu dvrechu, and even before he finished his fast, the Rebbein Shem said that your prayers were already answered. So Rab Zeire learned from this that the Rebbein Shem would reward a person for something he would do in the future. And here, it's not only in a concealed way, it's in a revealed way. Because he hoped that by doing that, he would hear very soon from the government that the Shmad was cancelled. And therefore we see that when a person accepts, a person would do something in the future, this would be a good enough reason for the Rebbein Shem to show him the reward before he actually fulfilled whatever he would do later. However, I still believe that our story is a bit different. Because the Yidden in Mitzrayim didn't do anything. They didn't say Nasa v'nishma in Mitzrayim. In this case, at least, the Kabbalah was them. At least they said, we will do something in the future. So even though you didn't do that yet, when you pledge a large donation for tzedukah and you'll give it in the next half a year or a year, you might only give the tzedukah later, but because you pledged the tzedukah before. When a person says, I will learn Daf HaYomi, and he didn't learn, didn't finish yet Shasra, because he took on himself to do so, so the Baruch Hashem might reward him now for something that will happen the next 7 years. The Baruch Hashem might reward him now for something that would happen the next 6 months. Well, that's when a person does something now. When a person says, I will fast at the latest stage. When the person doesn't do anything. When they didn't hear that 3 months later there would be Mekabel the Torah. Why should this help? So we saw different sources who discussed this question, if the Baruch Hashem looks at the future in the current situation. We saw by punishment, Ba'asher Rishon, the Baruch Hashem doesn't take the future into consideration. Ben Sayyar Moira was an exception. We saw by reward, where the reward is concealed by the poor Adum of Duma Ben Esine, by the story of the Ma'asham, by the story of Oyved, where he was rewarded in a concealed way before. This we saw, even when the person didn't do anything yet, but in a concealed way, the Baruch Hashem would reward him. Even in a revealed way, the Baruch Hashem would reward the person or nation, but that's only if they do something now. If they're mekabel now, they have a good kabbalah now, so the Baruch Hashem says, okay, that's enough for me to reward him. However, why would it work in our case? Right. So if the Baruch Hashem would say, in the schus of not changing their clothes, in the schus of not changing their name, then you would be right. But the Baruch Hashem didn't mention that. He said for something that will happen 3 months later, which would be Kabbalah Satoyah. Kabbalah Satoyah wasn't even known to them when they didn't change their garments. And therefore, why would this be a schus for them to be taken out of Mitzrayim?
Even though he promised to the others, there was a sort of a reason why.
Right. So if you would say, and I believe the Asav was showing him who learned the Pusik, there wasn't a reward. The Baruch Hashem said, I created the world for Tachlis. And part of the Tachlis is there has to be Kabbalah Satoyah. And therefore, even if they are not worthy to be taken out of Mitzrayim, but that's the plan of creation, and therefore I have to take them out of Mitzrayim, that would be fine. But Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says it's a reward, it's a schus for something they seemingly did, or they will do in the future. And there we ask, how does this work? But I want to take this one step further. Let's think about it. The Baruch Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, 3 months' time, the Yidden would accept the Torah. Do they still have a choice to accept the Torah? Now we know the idea of the Rabbeinu Shem is not a contradiction to the Bechira, to the free will of a person. But that's only as long as it's a idea. Once the Rabbeinu Shem reveals his idea, once the Baruch Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu clearly, and he obviously gave over the message to Klal Yisrael, you would accept the Torah 3 months later, did they have a choice? And we see that they didn't have a choice, because the Baruch Hashem kufa lehem har kigigis, and told them, im atem mekablim es haTorah great, vim lav, shom teik v'rasrem. And as the Gemara says, mikan moidur rabbe l'raise, from here the Yidden could say that Kabbalah Satoyah was forced upon them. They did say now, so v'nishmas tois, as points out, but it seems to be that different answers why this is not a contradiction. But Kabbalah Satoyah seems to be forced upon them till a later stage by the story of Mordechai and Esther. Chudor kiblu bimei Achashverosh, as Rashi says, Mahava Sanes. But Kabbalah Satoyah was forced upon them. And if you read the Pusik, the Baruch Hashem didn't say, they will be the Mekabel the Torah 3 months' time. Tavdu neselakim al ahor hazeh, they will do so. And therefore, they will be forced to do so. And even if you would say that yes, the Baruch Hashem rewards a person in a revealed way for something he would do in the future, but that's only if he would do something in the future. What did Klal Yisrael do in the future? What is Rashi referring to? Which Kabbalah Satoyah? There's a famous Gemara where the Gemara quotes a discussion that Rav Ashi had with Menashe. The Gemara in Sanhedrin. Rav Ashi spoke about Menashe in a way which Menashe didn't appreciate. He came to his dream. Ischazel l'Rav Ashi Menashe b'chalme ve'umale, he said, Chavrich v'chavri de'avuch korislon, do you call us our friends? Am I your friend? And he asked him a question about Hilchas Betzias HaPas. How do you cut bread? And Rav Ashi couldn't answer this question. And Menashe answered him. I told him the aluchim. Umalei Rav Ashi told him, Me'acha dechakimisu kulehai. If you are so wise, my tameko polchisu lavoidezure. Why did you serve idols? Why did you serve avoidezure? Umalei answered him, Yehav v'susam, if you would be there, Havis nukit b'shipule glima, you would lift your garment. Verotis abasuyin, would run after the avodah zarah. What did Menashe tell him? What did Rav Ashi answer? And what was Menashe's claim? The Maral explains, quoted by the Shem Yishmuel, the argument between Menashe and Rav Ashi was as follows. Menashe told him, you judge me the way you see the situation today. If you would be there, you wouldn't begin to understand the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah. When we saw Avodah Zarah, we had no choice. Our Yetzer Hara forced us to do so. We had to run towards Avodah Zarah if we wanted or we didn't want. It was just too strong Yetzer Hara. However, we knew it's wrong. We knew it's wrong, but our Yetzer Hara was too strong. If you would be there, Rav Ashi, you wouldn't even know it's wrong. How would I see the difference? If I would have an excuse, if I would go on the street and the way would be filled with thorns and bushes, I'd be very excited to go back home. I didn't appreciate going to the Avodah Zarah, but I had no choice. But if I would have an excuse not to do so, I'd be very happy. If you would see an excuse, you would lift your garment because you would be convinced that that's the right thing and you would run after the Avodah Zarah. Says the Shem Yishmuel, the same applies also for mitzvahs. You might have two people who come to shul at the same time. They learn the same amount of time. They give the same amount of charity. One person is excited to do so. One person does so because he really wants to do so. And one person is forced. He might be forced by social pressure. He might be forced by his upbringing. He might be forced by his family. How would I notice the difference? How can you test yourself which kind of person you are? Says the Shem Yishmuel, what do you do if you have a situation where you can't fulfill the mitzvah? Does it bother you? Are you excited? I have an excuse why I can't go to shul, so I'll be very excited because no one could say anything. Or would it bother you? If it would bother the person, it seems to be that when he served the Baruch Hashem all these years, it was out of true desire to serve the Baruch Hashem. But if you would be quite happy to miss out a day or two, if no one would say anything to him, then it must be that he served the Baruch Hashem because he was forced to do so. Says in Likut HaSichas, the same thing applies also for this pusuk. Moshe asked the Baruch Hashem, in which schus would the Yidden go out of Mitzrayim? The Baruch Hashem answers, they will be mekabel the Torah. They'll be forced to do so. It won't be their choice. If so, why should we reward them? The question is, would they do so with excitement or just because they are forced? How would I know? You'll tell them now in Mitzrayim they will accept the Torah. Let's see how they react. Would they say, let's first get out of Mitzrayim? Okay, if this is the price we have to pay, we prefer to be mekabel the Torah than be slaves in Mitzrayim, and we'll do so. Then it would be indeed forced, and therefore will be no reward involved. But if they'll be excited and they won't be able to wait, they'll be so excited they'll start counting down the days till they'll get to Kabul Sator. Then even though you would force them, you won't give them any choice. And there was no choice. Kuf alem ha kegigis. But the excitement shows that it's theirs. The excitement shows that they deserve a reward. And he brings a Shibul HaLeket. When Shibul HaLeket says that when Moshe Rabbeinu told them in Mitzrayim ready that you will receive the Torah, they couldn't wait. They didn't count yet the days because the Pusik said, Boitziyachum Mitzrayim, and therefore it was premature to count yet. But the excitement was so that they couldn't wait for this moment. And the second they came out of Mitzrayim, they counted one day to Kabul Sator. 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days. They couldn't wait. And this is where Sfiras HaOmer started to happen, as some Rishonim explain. And therefore, by being so excited, they turned over a forced Kabul Sator into a big schus for Klal Yisrael. The same Kabul Sator, but because they showed the excitement, because they showed they longed to it, therefore it became a schus for them. Therefore we asked, does the Rebbeinu Shel Olam reward the person for something he would do in the future? And we said we only see Mekoyres that he does so either in a concealed way, or when the person does something now already, accepts something on himself now. And we asked by Klal Yisrael, nothing happened now. They didn't do anything now. And they were rewarded in a revealed way to be taken out of Mitzrayim. The answer is, a lot happened now. The Kabul Sator was much later. But the excitement towards Kibbutz HaTorah happened now. The same way as in Rab Zeira's day, when he said, the day where the Shmad will be canceled, I will take upon myself to fast. And this chus of something that would happen in the future would be sufficient, would be enough to take away the decree now. The same way the excitement for Klal Yisrael to serve the Rebbeinu Shem would be enough a reason to reward them for something they would do in the future. And therefore, it's the same as the Ma'am Chazal of Rabbi Zeira. We have still a few minutes time. I just want to quote one more Ma'am Chazal, which seems to contradict what we said till now. And this is a Mishnah you might have learned in Tanis. The Mishnah said, when a tzibur, a community, took on themselves to fast, because there was no rain, and it started to fast, 8 in the morning, 9 in the morning, suddenly it starts to rain. As long as Chatzos didn't pass, they can stop their fast. Why? Because it seems to be that there's no need anymore to fast because the rain came down already. Asas Fasemes, who says, maybe the Rebbeinu Shem brought down the rain because it started the fast, but it's only because it would fast till the end of the day. If we say that the Rebbeinu Shem does reward a person now for something he would do later, how do you know that the reason why the rain came down is not for you fasting till it's 7 o'clock in the evening? How could you stop to fast at that current moment? Doesn't this seem to show us that the Rebbeinu Shem doesn't take any future into consideration? And if at 10 o'clock in the morning it rains, it must be it rains for the reason being now and not for the future. Says the Sfas-Emes, a very simple answer. What we discussed so far was, does the Rebbeinu Shem take the future into consideration? The answer is yes, definitely yes. We saw with so many examples. This is the example of the Masham, of the Benesine, of so many examples, the Rebbeinu Shem does take the future into consideration. But does this oblige a person to act in a certain way? Let me ask you the following. Could you come to a person at such a town as Geshumim and say, I think you should give £200,000 for tzedukah? He would say, why? Because maybe it will only rain because the Rebbeinu Shem knows that you will in the future give £200,000 of tzedukah, and therefore I can oblige you to give that money to tzedukah. Of course not. Why not? Maybe it is so. Maybe the Rebbeinu Shem would reward us for something we do in the future. Maybe it's this amount of money that would be given to tzedukah. How could you deny that? And the answer is simple. Maybe yes, and maybe no. But to oblige a person to do something, you have to be convinced. And therefore, when the people said in the times of Rab Zeira, I will fast when this decree would be cancelled, what did you take upon yourself? You took upon yourself to fast at a later stage. Therefore, you have to fast. How does it work? It works. But if you just said, I want to fast because there's no rain, and you meant to say in the second it rains, I don't take upon myself to fast, you have no reason to continue to fast. You might have a reason to continue to fast, but I can't oblige you to do so. I can't prove to you that that's the reason why it rained before, and therefore even when it starts raining at 8 o'clock in the morning, and maybe the Rebbeinu Shem took into consideration you fasting, but that's not enough reason to oblige you to do so. Because we have to look at what did you take upon yourself. What did you say? Did you say, I want to fast anyway, with rain or without rain? Or did you say, because there's no rain, I want to fast, and the second there's rain, I never took on myself to fast. It might be nice if you continue to fast. It might be nice to do so. But you are not obliged to do so, and therefore this doesn't contradict what we said till now. So just to reframe where we came from, what we said in the beginning, we asked how does the Rebbeinu Shloinam reward the Eden for being taken out of Mitzrayim for something they would do in the future, and we saw many proofs that Rebbeinu Shloinam would take the future into consideration, but that's only either in a concealed way or when a person does something now. And when a person says he would do something, he would have a kabbula, he would do something small every day for the next 2 years, this might be enough a reward for the person at the current moment when he does so.